So good morning.
Good morning.
So good to see you here, some familiar faces. Just really want to express my gratitude to Reverend Paula and all the rest of the team that has made this visit so pleasant. So thank you so much for that. And as I look at my journey here in the Hampton Roads area, I arrived around December 2010. And what I know is that many, many members of this community reached out to me to support me in starting Hampton Roads Centers for Spiritual Living. And what I appreciate about their reaching out is they were clear that there was an AND in the world. Many of you know that I am the queen of AND, Anne. And so what I mean by that, they knew that they could help us start Hampton Roads Centers for Spiritual Living, and they could continue to be active, supporting, loyal members here at Renaissance. And so my heart says thank you. Our center says thank you for your support as we continue to unfold here in this area. Now, I'm going to be talking about apps. Some of you will know that I am one of those people who's always looking for new ways to get the message out. The possibility that I could use a different concept that might allow you to capture it differently. So this morning I'm using the Activating Life apps, and you'll hear more about that. But I want you to join me on a journey way back to the mid-70s. That's a long ways, right? Imagine that in the mid-70s I'm living in Rhode Island. I'm a member of a startup team for Metropolitan Property and Liability, which is a new company starting in that area. I'm driving a BMW, have a mink coat on. Just don't call Peter on me, folks. This was 1970. We haven't gotten there yet, right? My closet was full of Ellen Tracy clothes. My shoe rack had nothing but Bruno Mars. Different than Bruno Mars, by the way. And what I celebrated and hung out in Newport on the weekend, Newport, Rhode Island on the weekends. I flew off to Barbados and Paris and London. That's the life. I dated visible men, you know, very popular guys. That's who I was. I lived in a high zip code area. And I figured, you know, I had reached the American dream. I mean, doesn't that sound like the American dream? I didn't even have to look in my purse to determine whether it was payday. That's called the American dream. And so that's certainly how my mother raised us. I'm the oldest of five. That we were to work, and if we worked hard enough, that we would be able to live the American dream. So the piece that was missing is that amidst all of that glory and all of that magnificence, there was a deep sadness. There was an ongoing sense of depression. There was a disconnect. And I couldn't make sense out of it because this was the American dream. What else could there be? And so that started me on a journey of figuring out, like, what is going on here? How can I be sad with all of this happening in my life? Something was missing. Of course, at that moment, I figured, well, let me have more. Let me medicate myself more. Let me get more clothes. You know, how you medicate ourselves with those kinds of things. So that was my route. And so what I'm going to be sharing with you today is some of the things I learned on that journey. The good news is that in 1980, I moved to Philadelphia. And in Philadelphia, I found the Unity Church on South 16th Street. I mean, it was like an oasis in the midst of a desert, if you can imagine. So I took classes and worked there at the Unity Church for about a year, and then they moved to Cherry Hill, which meant that it was a little out of my reach. And then in the early 90s, I found Science of Mind. Science of Mind was founded by Ernest Holmes, and you'll hear a little bit more about that. And so that sort of shifted my life, because I'm like, well, maybe there is something else for me. And so that's when I started to look at how I could get clear that I was whole, magnificent, and joyful. Up to that point, I had not heard that I was whole and complete and joyful. You know, I've heard a lot of other stuff, but that was not it. So this teaching was a whole new brand way of looking at life. And so that was the exciting part for me. And so my intention today is to really share with you some of the learnings from my experience on that journey. And so it was a journey inward. See, I had gotten clear that I had mastered the external journey. I had all, check, 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 I had all of that. But in here, there was a sadness, there was something missing. And so my goal was to do the inward journey to the inner sanctuary. So that was my vision. So as I share with you today, I'd like to share three things. One, I'd like to talk about the divine urge that is in every one of us. And then talk about what are some of the applications that you and I have. And then to talk about how those applications got activated in my life. And we're going to do all of that in 15 minutes. So just keep breathing. I heard some lack of breathing in there. They've already told me how much time I have. So know that we'll get this done in the right amount of time. So one of my favorite books by Ernest Holmes is called This Thing Called You. Very small book, but it's powerful. And in this book, Ernest starts off by saying, "You, like all others, are seeking the joy of living. You wish to be needed, to be loved, to be included in the great drama of life. This urge is in every individual. It is in everything. The roses exist to express the blossoms. The artist will starve in his garret that he may chisel the angelical form of slab of marble. Releasing this unyielding substance into a beautiful creation. Not only human beings, but everything in nature is endowed with this creative urge. It is impossible to escape this creative urge. Everything must fulfill or perish." So, you know how I make sense out of it. I'm always looking for a way to make sense out of things. Some of you, you know, particularly in Philadelphia, some of you are as old as I am, or at least maybe you've seen it on television. When they talk about putting a divine urge, I think about Hostess Twinkie. Is anybody, any Hostess Twinkie fans in here? You remember how Hostess Twinkie has that little beautiful piece inside? And so when I think about the divine urge, that's what I think about, that each of us showed up here on this plane with that divine urge. And so what we're saying is we get to use that urge in fulfilling our lives, or it perishes, it goes away. And so one of the things that I've found that has been really, really helpful is looking at something that is so popular in our lives today, our cell phones, and help to apply that to this whole idea of living life differently. And so what I know is, I'm going to assume that as you bought your cell phone, that it already had lots of apps in it. How many cell phone folks we have out here? I didn't ask what brand. So it could be a flip phone. I have no judgment. All right? Just saying that it is an electronic instrument. And so on the back here, we have an app. I'm imagining that each of us has this personal app within our lives. And so these are some of the things that show up on that app that allow you and I to live an extraordinary life. So imagine you have an app that has love on it, that has gratitude and forgiveness and joy and freedom and support and possibilities, that this is your life app. Imagine, and you can activate just by pressing it. So imagine that. And so what I find is, look, so I got all this excitement, so what do I do with it? And so what I decided is that I wanted to figure out how to activate this in my life. In this life that has been great on one level, in this life that had been a deep sadness right within here. And so what I got clear is there are some options. And so one of the things when I started to activate my apps, because I know that when Ernest Holmes says, the divine urge is fulfillment or to perish. Fulfillment is living an extraordinary life. It's being willing to have that urge open up to live powerfully, to make a difference in the world. And then the choice we have is not to open it up, to live what we call, you know, an ordinary life. And so that's always our choice. And so I chose, being the gutsy person that I am, was to activate. How can I activate my app? How can I do that? And one of the things I've learned on this journey is that I need support. I need support. Because there is that tendency, well, you know, I'm smart, I can do this myself. You know, I can read. I've gone to school. I don't need any help. But what I realized on this journey is I needed help. And so I reached out to get support. I got a coach. Because I don't know about you, when you bought your phone, did you go to the store in MacArthur? Or did you go to one in Lynn Haven to get some support on how to activate all the apps? I guess I don't see a lot of nodding, so I guess you guys must be the self-do-it people, right? you didn't need all of that. And what I'm suggesting is, if you and I want to live an extraordinary life, if you want to live a fulfilling life, that getting help in how to activate these apps make a big difference in your life. And so I chose to activate the app Joy. And so with this coach, what she said to me, well, if you want to activate it, Ruth, just speak it. I am joy. I am joy. And so I would start speaking, I am joy. And then I forgot, maybe I'm joyful or joyless, or I will be joyful. I'm not sure. You know how you start saying things and just you forget what it is. And when I reported that to my coach, she said, sometimes when you and I choose something, there's something underneath it that's not allowing us to access it. You know how you get an app and they say, well, your app is out of date? Yes. Or maybe you're a planter and sometimes you're planting a plant and you plant the seed and you realize that it's not taking root. And so what we're saying here with this whole app idea, what she said to me is, Ruth, in order for you to activate the app of joy in your life, you've got to have gratitude. You've got to have gratitude. You can't just say, I want joy. You've got to have gratitude. Gratitude is a way of opening up. It is a way of allowing the vibrations of life to open up in a powerful way and attract more gratitude and support you in having joy. So I said, okay, I'll try that. And so I went along with that whole idea of having the app with gratitude. And, you know, many of us read these books. I'm sure it's not just me. You know, Bren Brown's book and Iyanla Van Sant's book, all talking about gratitude. That in order for you and I to have gratitude, we've got to have joy. And so just getting clear about that. And so the coach helped me with that. So I figured, well, right now I'm ready to roll, right? So I'm saying, I am joy, I am joy, I am joy. And a little voice is saying, you don't really believe that, do you? I'm like, what is this? You know, I mean, this work, you know, buying all those clothes is much easier than doing this work, folks. I'm just saying. I'm just saying, but when I chose to be on this journey, I had to let go of being in charge. I had to let go and let God move through me in a way that is powerful, that was guiding. And so as I was willing to let go of that voice in the back of me and have a conversation with my coach, what she said to me, she says, Ruth, you have spent years and years and years being and using what we call joy cheaters. Joy cheaters. You know what a joy cheater is? It's those times when you and I are waiting for the next shoe to drop. You know, those times when we say to ourselves, I don't deserve this. It won't last very long. Something bad is going to happen today. Probably, I don't see anybody knowing. This must be the wrong audience. I'm just checking now. But those are the joy cheaters. It's when you and I worry about stuff. You know how we pray about it, but then we just, oh, well, let me just worry about it. Like, worry is going to help it. And so what she was saying is that apparently I had invested a lot in a lot of joy cheaters. Because I remember growing up with this affirmation, I'm sure no one knows that. Don't laugh too much because you will cry before the day is over. Has anybody ever heard that one? Yeah. But can you see that's a joy cheater? And so what she said, I had to let that go in order for me to activate this app called Joy. And so in the activation and letting that go, I also had to forgive myself. You know, because sometimes when you and I step into things that we've been doing differently, there is a beating up. You know, maybe I'm the only one that beats myself up. I could have been, should have been, ought to done. You know, all of that. And so I had to let that go. I had to forgive myself and forgive others in order to have this activate. And so one of the other things that I noticed on this journey was that I had to get clear what joy was. The joy is an inward feeling. It is something that happens inward, not something that happens outward. It is something that is pumping in my system, whether the circumstances are bad or not. It is the wallpaper of my soul. That's what joy is. So just being present to that. So, I mean, does that feel like something you want to activate in your life? Yes, that whole idea of joy. And so as I claimed my worthiness, as I got clear about the wallpaper in my soul, I activated that application called joy in my life. And so I got clear that I was a partner of joy, that whatever was happening to me, I was in joy, regardless of how it felt. All that drama, trauma that I experienced before, I was appreciative of it. I had to be grateful. And so as I opened up to that gratitude, I was able to finally embrace this thing called joy. And so I simply share that with you as a way of looking at where am I with the apps in my life? That all of these apps come with us. Sacred service, gratitude, forgiveness, support, love, freedom, joy, faith, possibility, visioning, tithing, prayer. That all of us is within that divine urge that was planted in each of us as we showed up here on this journey. And so, yes, I made the choice to activate my life application of joy. And like you, I had a choice. And so as I close, I want to be sure that you get clear that you have that opportunity also to activate any of these applications. I chose joy because that was something that I thought I had, and I realized I didn't. So as I close, reminding you that we all have that divine urge, or the hostess Twinkie middle, and however it shows up for you, just want you to remember that, and that it's infused with the qualities of God, and it is our choice to activate them or not. And so I close with this excerpt from Howard Thurman's Meditation of the Heart, and what Howard says is he's willing to live the outer life and the inner journey because he knows that to a degree he continues to do his work, that it will be one. And why I love Howard Thurman is that he was a great theologian, but he was also the coach for Martin Luther King. And this is where the and comes in. His coaching with Martin Luther King was really helping him with the civil rights movement. It was an external thing. However, his proponent was, he was proponing that we do the internal work. That's what he recommended. And you know, sometimes we live in a world that's either or. He didn't do that. He held both places. And so it's an opportunity for you and I to know the truth, that we too can be an and in life, that we can activate our life apps, that we can be joy, that we live in a world that says there is a divine presence with each of us. And so for that and so much more, we're grateful this morning. And I thank you for your presence.